Now, for the first in our series of exclusive interviews with American dressage legends, we begin with Lowell Boomer, who was one of the founders of the USDF. Lowell begins by explaining how his career with horses began and why he chose to become involved with dressage. He then shares the story of how the USDF was formed.
I wanted to ask you if you've been involved with horses for a long time, and why are you interested in dressage?
That's a heck of a question. I have been, quite a while. It was 9 years old, and I'm 85 now. Yeah, that's quite a while. But then I took a vacation from that, because at about 12 years old, I had to give up my ponies, and we moved, and I didn't touch a horse and see a horse or smell a horse.
How old were you when you got back into horses?
23. From 12 until 23, I fiddled around and played clarinet and did everything and didn't worry at all about horses. And then at 23, customer in the printing business wanted to go horseback riding, and so my brother and I went out Saturday afternoon with him and rode horseback on rented horses, and I went back on Sunday and rented a horse, and I went back on Monday and rented a horse and kept it up, and I've been doing rides ever since. And let's see, I must have been 20. Yeah, I was 23, and it was 1934.
Okay, and then when did you learn about dressage?
Well, the 1936 Olympic team came to Lincoln several times and demonstrated their ability, and I helped set up the jumping courses for them, and they called the schooling phase a three-day event, was the way I learned about dressage. You had to get them under control and obedient and all of that. And I never had heard the word dressage. That is a French word, and it's a little fancy for me. I did the schooling phase just to make better jumpers. My first horse, Blue, as a very imaginative name, and I got him as a unbroke Western horse at 4 years old, and in 1934 I got him, and I didn't know a darn thing about jumping, or I fell off quite often that way, and but I did win the jumper stake and the jumpers three or four classes at the American Royal down in Kansas City in 1937 on him. And I showed him in the state fair and the Exarban and around. And, well, let's see, he's the first grown-up horse that I had. The other was Shetland pony, but she thought she was a horse. And then her colt's name was Midget.
Seems like you are known for taking some rogues of horses and with your dressage training to turn them into some nice jumpers. Could you tell me how you use dressage in your horse training?
Well, my brother was on the racetrack. He was secretary of the Nebraska Racing Commission, and he used to pick out the horses that couldn't go very fast, and I would get my choice of the ones that weren't good running horses. I had a heck of a lot of race horses and converted them into jumpers, some good and some not so good. They all learned to do the fundamentals and basic dressage before they were able to jump, or before they did jump, and then jumping was part of their training in dressage, and if they took to it, why, they could jump 5 feet high, why, they were jumpers. And if they couldn't jump, why, they were usually dressage horses or Western horses.
So I wanted to ask you next about in 1972, you had a party. You invited people to come to Lincoln.
Oh, no.
USDA.
No, I didn't.
That's not how it happened?
No.
Okay.
I was in Michigan at the Bloomfields Hunt, and they had a show there, and I was watching the show, and a horse that belonged to Mary Yates was sold back there, and I enjoyed watching it show. And that evening they had a dinner, and everybody was invited to attend, and Colonel Thackeray was the speaker. East Coast had tried two or three times to have meetings to form some kind of an association, and the West Coast didn't like the East Coast. Oh, they're nice people, but they didn't get along and didn't agree as far as ideas in dressage, and there was a little bit of it quite a bit of it around Chuck Grant in Michigan. By Hopkins and Chuck Grant and some other people were very active in dressage, and it was a dressage show that I went to see. And that evening, they were to talk about how the West or the whole country could get together and have a unified goal and for dressage. And I just happened to be across the table from Colonel Thackeray, and I muttered, evidently you don't recognize that Nebraska is nearly the center of the United States, and we're as neutral as hell out there. And they laughed, and it's funny, and went along. But after it was over with in the evening, Thackeray said, that's a pretty good idea to have that in Nebraska. And he talked it up, and by the next morning, everybody was saying, we'll see you in Nebraska in February. And they didn't realize that we had storms in Nebraska, and it stormed like, the snow was belly button high. That's 3'6".
So that was 1973, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen the minutes from that meeting, and it looks like mainly you focused on writing bylaws. Did the efforts of writing bylaws take a long time?
It would have taken a long time, except Jack Fritz served as some moderator and chairman and master of ceremonies and everything very, very efficiently. And he saw to it that things went along pretty good. And we had lots of arguments and lots of tempers flare, and Natalie Lamping's dad, Nick, was there. And he wasn't noted for being quiet very often. And Ivan Bezugloff, he earned the title Buzzoff for his part in the founding of USDF. He was quite verbal. And Lillian Zimmerman was very, very instrumental in founding and writing the bylaws. Oh, golly, there were so many people that were important. They did a lot toward making it a success.
Why did they decide on the name Federation? You know, that was discussed a lot.
Well, they would have had an association, but USDA had already been taken, and someone, bright person, said, well, that's the same initials, acronym, as the Department of Agriculture uses. And so someone was bright enough to say, well, it's a federation of clubs anyway. Why don't we call it a federation? And lo and behold, it is the USDF Federation.
Why did you decide on two sets of members, individual members and participating members?
It was an afterthought. We had the individual members and members through the clubs, and Lillian or someone, I'm not sure that it was Lillian, said, well, how about members who are not members of clubs and are active in horse activities? And so they decided upon participating members, and that's been a trouble ever since. We participating members are those who can go for awards and compete in USDF, and someday they'll change that, I suppose.
Speaking of awards, you once told me that awards are very important to build the organization, that you've got to have the awards first so that people have a reason to join.
Someone in California thought about awards. Melanie Lofholm, I think, was, and a few other people said that we should have awards to call attention to USDF and make the organization known all over, and the best way to do that was to have awards. And so we started an award system, planning on making education the focal point of the association. But
okay, and something about the purpose, say, to something about striving for excellence, is that tied in with the awards program?
I don't think there's any excellence at all entitled with USDF. For goodness sake. Well, let's see. I guess there was some striving for excellence, but I don't know what part it had in the formation of USDF. I'm kidding.
How important is the All Breeds Award Program?
Oh, the All Breeds is very, very important. The idea of USDF is to interest horse people and non-horse people in dressage and to bring them along, and so that when they get efficient and good at dressage, why, they above fourth level, the USDF can bring them up that far and turn them over to USCT for the higher levels, and HSA has higher levels too. But our real job in USDF is to take care of the national levels. And the All Breeds, well, I think Ruth Arvanette thought of All Breeds and started the All Breeds Council. And it is the most important part of USDF. It brought in lots of members, got a lot of people interested in dressage. Wouldn't have thought of being in dressage if we didn't have the All Breeds.
I wanted to ask you about the USDF Violet M. Hopkins National Seminar for Dressage Instructors. And how did that get started? Why did Vi Hopkins get interested in this instructor program?
Vi Hopkins is interested in anything that is good for dressage. And she was very, very instrumental in all kinds of teaching and instructing programs. And she wanted to start something that was designed to assure everybody that we had good instructors, because that is the basis of dressage, is good instruction. Vi was instrumental in getting Colonel Summers from Denmark, I believe, to handle the first Vi Hopkins seminar. It was a great idea. After 2 or 3 years, Colonel Summers thought that he was getting too old and too tired to conduct them. And he was a young man, though. He was 78 or 9 then. And he asked if we would like to have a friend of his in Sweden come over and be his understudy. And so he brought Major Lindgren over. He had never been to the United States up until that time. And Summers and Lindgren were together for 2 or 3 years, and then Lindgren took it all on by himself, and he ended up, I think, being in United States probably from 7 months out of the year, and then finally 9 months out of the year. He has done a tremendous job for instruction and dressage in the United States. Many good riders.
For more information about the USDF history and the Roma Foundation USDF Hall of Fame, please visit the website at usdf.org/Hall of Fame and the March issue of the USDF Connection magazine.